Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be forever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, through Jesus Christ our Lord, and in the fellowship of his Holy Spirit. Amen. What journeys have you been on recently? Maybe you've gone to Geraldton for shopping, or to Perth for appointments, or further afield to see your family. Perhaps you went to see a footy match at a stadium you've not visited before, or took a trek looking for wild flowers. Have you ever gone on an adventure to find a large rock, some ancient ruins, or a pagan temple? Our psalmist today describes those whose strength is in the Lord and who set their hearts on pilgrimage in verse 5. Pilgrimage was a regular feature for Jews under the Old Covenant, for Passover and weeks in the spring, and for tabernacles in the autumn, Jews would journey to Jerusalem. Other religions emphasize the importance of pilgrimage, but Christians generally do not. Although we might enjoy sightseeing in Israel, Greece, or Turkey, it's not an essential part of our faith. However, one of the most popular books in the English language is The Pilgrim's Progress, which describes the Christian life with the allegory of a journey. We need this spiritual approach as we see the psalmist's deep longing for the presence of God in Psalm 84. Psalm 84 is of the sons of Korah. These were descendants of Levi. In Chronicles, they are temple singers, gatekeepers, or bakers. There's also an account of their rebellion in Numbers 16 and 26. This is the first of their second collection of psalms. The first collection is Psalms 42 to 49, and the second comprises Psalms 84, 85, 87, and 88. Both of them are sequences of pilgrim songs for those travelling to Jerusalem for the feasts. First, we'll see the pilgrim's longing in verses 1 to 4. The psalm begins and ends with the Lord Almighty, who is also named in verses 3 and 8. It centres on trust in the personal God who commands the hosts of heaven. Verse 2 describes a longing for the living God. We find this theme of bringing life developed later in the psalm, where difficult places become places of refreshment. The living God is a designation used throughout Scripture. It emphasizes that God is the only being to have life in himself, John 5, verse 26, to be self-existent. It also points to God as the source of our life. God is the life-giver, as we find in Acts 17 and verse 25. Our reading from Thessalonians contrasts idols manufactured out of dead wood or metal with a God who raises his son to life. This living God brings life and rescues from wrath. Denying the existence of God or worshipping something else fails to give God the worship and glory due to him as the only self-existent being. It cuts us off from the source of life. Thinking of ourselves as self-existent, independent of God and others, is harmful. We are dependent on God for life, breath, and everything. We are meant for community. The correct response to the living God is single-minded, wholehearted worship of God alone. We find similar thoughts in Psalms 42, verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. And in Psalm 43, verse 4, then will I go to the altar of God, to God my joy and my delight. As the psalmist lived in the Old Covenant, time, he expresses his desire for God with longing for the courts of the Lord. Now, this is not the court of King Charles III, but an eternal throne that will not pass away. Perhaps like the pilgrim, you love the dwelling place of God. Maybe this longing is a familiar experience to you. For us, this is experienced not in a place, but a person. Jesus in the heavenly temple, of which the earthly temple was just a copy. We need to remember that for us, the dwelling place of God is wherever two or three are gathered in Jesus' name, as in Matthew 18 and verse 20. During COVID lockdowns, this may have had to be via live stream or video conference over the phone or a shared walk. We were powerfully reminded that fellowship is not all about a building. It is good, though, if we share something of this longing to be meeting together. Now we can, we should make every effort to meet together. When we do, we should take every opportunity to pray for each other and also in our regular personal prayers. The equivalent for us is desire for the presence of the living God. Hebrews 10, verse 31, though, warns that it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hand of the living God. We all fall short of the glory of God, and we need to be forgiven to enter the presence of the Holy One. The psalmist envies small birds who find a home and even make a nest near the altar in verse 3. This was the place of sacrifice, where atonement is made, so people can be reconciled to God. The cause of continuous praise. The least commandment of the Old Testament law forbade taking a mother and her young from a bird's nest. It afforded some protection to these small creatures long before BirdLife Australia. The psalmist has a deep longing for home, a home that will be found in God's house forever. As Augustine puts it, you move us to praise you, for you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you. For us, the equivalent is to choose to live and to rest and to raise our families in the shelter of the cross. Wanting to be close to this place, trusting in the redemption and forgiveness Jesus' death brings. The ones who dwell there are the ones who are blessed, in verse 4, as also are the ones who set their hearts on going there. Secondly, we hear of the pilgrim's journey in verses 5 to 7. The journey to the temple was not always easy, as we see in verses 5 to 7. It required people to find their strength in God. Like Psalm 1 or the Beatitudes of Matthew 5, the psalmist defines true happiness in approval from God. Shalom, peace and well-being is found in dwelling in God's house. Blessing is for those who find strength in God to make the Christian journey to heaven. We need to set our hearts on being with God at the end of our journey. The pilgrim passed through the Valley of Baca. Well, this may refer to the Valley of Rephaim mentioned in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 22 to 25. The balsam trees there wept gum, and the word Baca means weeping. So it symbolizes a vale of tears, a place of weeping. The pilgrims turn a dry, arid desert place into an oasis of springs and pools because their strength is in God. They are the sort of people who do not shirk from going through troubles or walking with others through difficulties, but instead transform them. They go from strength to strength, and each will appear before God at the end of their journey. We might think of John Bunyan's allegory, The Pilgrim's Progress, which tells of Christian's journey to the celestial city, over the Slough of Despond, through the wicket gate, along the king's highway to the place of deliverance. We know how Christian needed evangelists to point the way to the light and to help him get through the swamp. Perhaps we can be those for others, for those around us. Thirdly, we see the pilgrim's prayer in verses 8 to 9. The psalmist cries out to God to hear prayer and to look with favour upon the anointed king, who was associated with the image of a shield. This echoes Psalm 2, another great theme of the Psalter, the Messiah, the King who is coming. It reminds us that we are all like sheep that go astray. We wander from the path, but there is one who completed the journey for us, who is the way, who guides us along straight paths. We need to follow this King. How we also need to pray for leaders with courage like this to defend the fatherless and the widow, the weak and the stranger. Fourth and finally, we see the pilgrim's destination in verses 10 to 12. As the psalmist reflects on why it's better to be a short time in the courts of God than a long time elsewhere. Or to be a doorkeeper in the house of God than in the tents of the wicked. Being close to God, even for a short time, in a minor role, is better than a lifetime of self-indulgence or the freedom to go our own way. I wonder if you act like this, or if you only come to church when you are given an important function. What is your motivation for service, and how do you serve? Ultimately, it is about obedience to God, not getting your way, fulfilling his purposes, not self-fulfillment. The promise of verse 11 is that if we seek God's will, then God provides and protects us on the journey and at the final destination. God is a sun and shield. Reputation and status with God is to be prized. He is the one who bestows favor and honor. Notice that blessing is not based on what we think or our opinion. It is what God blesses that matters. God gives good things to those without blame. Acceptance and welcome by God at the end of the journey is worth a little discomfort along the way, for this is where eternal blessings are found. John Bunyan summarized the Pilgrim's Progress with a hymn, "He who would valiant be." This captures the longing, journey, prayer, and destination of the Christian pilgrim who has met Jesus and is journeying through life to an eternal home. He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the Master. There's no discouragement shall make him once relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Those who beset him round with dismal stories do but themselves confound, his strength the more is. No foes shall stay his might, though he with giants fight. He will make good his right to be a pilgrim. Since, Lord, you will defend us with your spirit, we know we at the end shall life inherit. Then fancies flee away. I'll fear not what men say. I'll labour night and day to be a pilgrim. The psalm concludes with, "O Lord Almighty, blessed is the man who trusts in you." The word for the man here is Adam. Adam did not trust in God, and he sought to become like God by eating the fruit. All of us fail to have this longing, to make the journey to God in Zion, and to pray for the Messiah. None of us deserve the final destination. Mercifully, though, there is a second Adam, Jesus Christ. Only Jesus fits the description of wholehearted longing for the living God. Only Jesus dwells in the heavenly home, and only Jesus is the way. By trusting in him alone, not our works or our merits, we will by grace arrive at the dwelling place of God. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, help us to share the psalmist's longing to be in your presence, meeting with other Christians. May we trust in the cross of Jesus for our forgiveness and acceptance with you and seek eternal blessings. Father, we know there are difficult places along the way. Grant us the help and direction we need, and the grace, sensitivity, and wisdom to help others too. Please raise up leaders with courage to defend the weak and the vulnerable. Enable us to trust in Jesus alone. Amen.